Hello, friends. Welcome to the Hillside Church podcast. My name is Brad, and I serve Hillside Church as the lead pastor. We're so glad to be able to share God's word with you in this way. God has so much in store for you and for your life, and one of the ways God works in our lives is through the study of his word, like the message you're about to hear. Our prayer for you is that as you share in this message, if it's me preaching or if it's someone else, is that God's word would minister to your heart and life in a most powerful way. Thanks again for being part of our church family. God bless you. This week, if you'd like to join me in the Bible, you could turn to 1 Kings chapter 19. 1 Kings comes immediately before 2 Kings, so if that's helpful, you can just turn to 2 Kings and then go back by one. But ultimately, 1 Kings, it's about a quarter of the way through the Old Testament, and so if you flip kind of into the middle of your Old Testament, you're going to hit Psalms, you're going to hit maybe Isaiah, Jeremiah, some of the bigger books. You'll head back towards the beginning, and in between sort of the middle and the beginning, you'll get somewhere in there, you'll find 1 Kings. This week, we're bringing our little mini-series on hearing God's voice called Earshot to a close. Next week, we're actually going to start, I don't know if you'd call it a new series, but next week we're going to do something a little different, something a little unique for 3 weeks. What we're going to do is instead of having the traditional sermon thing, we're going to do something different, something we've never really done before. And so it's going to be something that hopefully is really good. Hopefully is really a blessing for you and for all of us. As what we're going to do over the next 3 weeks is we're going to spend some time hearing testimony. Testimonies of people's story of their relationship with God. Over the next few weeks, Pastor Matt next week, the week after, Pastor Lori the week after that, they're going to do some interviews with some people in the church for them to share their testimony. And then each week, one of the pastors will be also share their testimony as well. And so over the next 3 weeks, we're going to have some time spent in testimony of God's faithfulness, God's goodness in our lives. The Bible will tell us that in our lives, that we were created, we are overcomers. But the Bible will say that there's two things that we use in order to overcome. First, we'll say the blood of the Lamb. The sacrifice of Jesus Christ allows us to overcome the things that take place in our lives. But the second thing it will say is, and by the word of our testimony, by sharing, by speaking what God has done in our lives, it allows others to be encouraged. Other people to say, if God could do it for them, he can do it for me. And so we're going to spend some time sharing testimony of what God has done in our lives. And so over the next few weeks, we're going to hear 9 different testimonies of things that God has been doing in the lives of our Hillside Church family. But this week, we're going to close by looking at what the voice of God sounds like. What does it sound like when God speaks to us? What does the voice of God sound like in our lives? And to do that, we're going to turn to a story from the life of a man named Elijah. And as we look at the story of Elijah that brings us to 1 Kings 19, what we see is that Elijah is kind of living in the fallout of one of the most powerful moments recorded in all of Scripture. One of the most amazing moments, one of the most incredible displays of the power of God that a person has ever had witness to. And what we read is in this incredible story where there's these followers of a false god, and they sort of challenge Elijah to say, which one of us serves the true God? And they build what's called an altar, and it's really just a structure made out of wood. And these false prophets, they pray and they dance and they sing. It even reads they start to cut themselves in worship of their false god in order to try and get this false god to try and do something to show its power. And they do this, and it takes hours and hours, and nothing happens. And then finally, it's Elijah's turn. And Elijah just steps up and he just prays, God, show your power. And boom, fire comes down from heaven and consumes the altar. that the power of God is on display in an incredible way. It's a moment that we read about, that we read, and we go, wow, that is amazing. And Elijah has this incredible moment. But from that moment, Elijah's life tumbles downhill. See, one of the people who was a follower of this false god was actually the queen at the time. And so the queen upset that Elijah embarrassed them, that Elijah embarrassed her prophets, orders a decree that Elijah's to be killed, that Elijah's to die. And so Elijah does what anyone would do. He goes on the run. And he hides. He runs away because the queen who has all of the power wants him dead. That he literally has like had a hit put out on him. He's got a bounty on his head. He is going to die. And what we see is that he begins to just tumble emotionally, spiritually. Things start to fall apart for him in his life to such a degree that we read that he comes to this place where he prays, God, would you kill me? God, just kill me. I don't want to be alive anymore. God, would you kill me? That's a deep, dark place to find ourselves. That you go from this incredible moment to, God, I don't want to live anymore. I don't want to do this anymore. And so by the time we come to 1 Kings chapter 19, Elijah is tired. He's dejected. He feels all alone, and he's ready to give up. And this depressed version of Elijah makes his way to what's called Horeb, the mountain of God. Now, coincidentally, this is the same mountain that we read about last week with Moses. This is the same mountain that Moses went to. Hundreds of years later, we read that Elijah ends up in the same place. But it's in this place, in this moment, where Elijah is as low as he can get, where emotionally, physically, spiritually, he's drained and he's finished. It's in this moment where he meets with God. And God speaks to him, which leads us to the verses I want us to look at today. So if we start in 1 Kings chapter 19, starting at verse 9, we read it says this. And the word of the Lord came to him, the him is Elijah. What are you doing here, Elijah? Elijah replies like this. I have been very jealous. For the Lord, or I've been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. What he's saying is, I've done everything for you. I've given my life for you. And anything and everything you've ever asked of me to do it, I've done it passionately. I've done it hard. I've worked hard for you. He says, the Israelites have rejected your covenant, torn down your altars, and put your prophets to death with their sword. I am the only one left, and now they're trying to kill me too. He says, God, I've done everything you've asked me to do. Every step along the way, I've said yes. God, everything you've ever asked me to do, I've done it. And what's the result? All the people have turned their backs on you. They've torn down your places of worship. In fact, they've killed everyone who's like me, and I'm the only one left, and now they're trying to kill me too. What am I doing here? I am here because I'm going to die. And the Lord, what we read is the Lord meets him in this. It says, then the Lord said, go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of God, for the Lord is about to pass by. Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountain apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake came a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. After the fire came a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he put his cloak over his face and went out and stood at the mouth of the cave. That's a picture of Moses recognizing that he's just heard the voice of God, that he's just experienced the presence of God, that as all these other things took place, he didn't experience it, but then there was this gentle whisper, and Elijah realizes that's the presence of God. Other translations will translate gentle whisper as a still small voice. The NASB will translate it the sound of a gentle blowing. That we see these incredible, profound, unquestionably magnificent things take place. A wind that shakes the foundation of the mountain begins to tear it apart. An earthquake, fire, these incredible big signs. But God's not in any of those. And then Elijah hears this quiet whisper, and he knows that's the presence of God. There's so many things that we can pull from this story, but the question that I want us to tackle today that will help us to understand how God speaks to us is, why is God's voice a gentle whisper? Why does God choose that to show us his voice, to show us his presence? There's three things I want to highlight for you to help us to understand why God chose to speak in a whisper like this. The first thing is that it reveals God's nature. God speaking in a gentle whisper actually shows us who God is. See, God can work in awesome displays of wonder. God can do incredible things. In the time of Moses that we talked about last week, we see that the Red Sea was divided. And when the people were left with nothing, no hope, and no solution, God parted this humongous body of water, and the people were able to walk across on dry land. We see that when they were dying of thirst in the desert, God instructed Moses to use his staff and hit a rock, and out of that rock poured streams of water. We see moments where they had come across water, but it was undrinkable, and God said, Throw this branch into the water and it will be made drinkable. We see these incredible moments. We see there's this moment where an earthquake swallows up people who are trying to rebel against God, that God used an earthquake. We also see that Jesus did powerful miracles all throughout his life. We see people who couldn't walk made to walk. We see people who couldn't see made to see. We see people who were sick made well. We see blind people receive their sight. We see dead people come back to life. But I believe that this was part of the significance of God appearing to Elijah in a gentle whisper. It shows us the true nature of God. As important as it is to know the God of fire, the God of the wind, the God of the earthquake, the God of power, the God of amazing signs and wonders, the God who can do anything and is bigger than anything, the God who at a word spoke the universe into creation, as important as it is to know that we serve a God who can do the impossible, that stuff isn't actually what draws us to him. That stuff isn't actually what our relationship to him is based on. In fact, we see in the life of Jesus that those who followed Jesus because of the amazing signs and wonders he did were the first to leave Jesus when it got difficult. We don't build our relationship with Jesus on the amazing things he can do. But the Bible tells us that it's not these big, loud moments that draw us to him. But instead, it's his mercy. It's his compassion. It's his love that draws us in. In Romans chapter 2, verse 4, Paul reminds us that it's God's kindness that leads us to repentance. It's not these amazing, powerful, unbelievable miracles that God does, that somehow that's what brings us closer to him. But the Bible tells us that it's actually his kindness. It's his connection to us. It's his closeness to us. It's not the big, incredible things. It's God's love for us. It's his closeness to us. In God speaking to Elijah this way, he's telling him that you're not just supposed to think of me as the God who sends fire from heaven. You're not just supposed to understand me as the God who can rattle a mountain to its core. You're not just supposed to think of me as the God of the big and the loud, but instead God allowed Elijah to see the true him, the him that we are connected to, that God allowed Elijah to understand, don't just see me as the big and the loud God, understand that I'm in the quiet moments too. I'm in the closeness too. See, the second thing that I think we need to understand, but why God would reveal himself in a still, small, quiet whisper, is that that still, small, quiet whisper, it represents real life. See, our lives are full of the big and the loud. That all throughout life, everywhere we go, everywhere you go, you are bombarded with messages that are speaking to you, that are telling you things about yourself, telling you things about your family, about your future, that you need to do this and you'll lose weight. You need to do this and you'll make money. You need to do this and you need to dress like this, or you need to act like this, or you need to become this, or you need to buy this thing, or you need to add this thing. That there are so many voices that are speaking to you, and all that's happening in our lives is they're getting louder and louder and louder and louder, because each time one gets louder, all the rest go, I need to be louder than that. And it gets louder and louder and louder. And what we think we need is we think we need God to be even louder than all of these voices. But that's not how God works all the time. I want to give you an example of what I mean. In the book of Acts, on the day of Pentecost, there's this incredible moment where as the disciples, the followers of Jesus, about 70 people, are gathered together in a room together, and they're praying together, and they're seeking the Lord's leading and guidance in their life. They're praying for God's power to be evident in their lives. They're praying, God, would you come and show yourself? And there's this incredible moment where it says that there was like the sound of a rushing wind, and it appeared as if tongues of fire came and rested on the disciples' heads, and they began to speak in all these different languages, and they began to preach to the people. And it says that thousands and thousands of people gave their life to Jesus that day. Do you know how many other times this happened again in Scripture? None. There was just the one. The Holy Spirit came and filled people after this. This wasn't a one-off event. But when God came, when the Holy Spirit came and filled people after this, there was nothing like that day of Pentecost. Sometimes God works like the day of Pentecost. But usually, God works through a gentle whisper. It's important to understand that the dramatic mountaintop events are not typical of how God deals with us day to day. That these are outside of the norm. Yes, they can happen. Yes, you can have these incredible, powerful moments that will stick with you for the rest of your life. And over the next few weeks, as we share testimony, we're going to hear about some of these moments where people have had an experience with God. But most of the time, God's work in your life, God's speaking to you, is like a calm, reassuring sense of God's presence that you carry from day to day. There will be moments when you sense it greater than others, but for the most part, it's a steady, consistent, gentle whisper. See, if we want to talk about these big, loud moments, these mountaintop moments, these incredible experience moments, very few people that have ever lived had more of them than Elijah did. Elijah was invited to speak to kings and queens. He was allowed to be invited into the presence of the most powerful people in the world and help shape the future of his nation and by default the world around it. Elijah healed the sick. Friends, Elijah raised the dead. Elijah called down fire from heaven. All of these incredible moments that we still read about thousands of years later and go, wow, God did that. That is amazing. But I think what God was wanting to show Elijah is that it's not just in these moments where you can find God speaking to you. That it's not just in these incredibly big and loud moments that you can find God speaking to you. That it's not just in these mountaintop incredible experiences that we're not supposed to just think about our relationship with God as trying to get from one mountaintop to another mountaintop to another mountaintop and trying to sustain us that way. In fact, what we see in the life of Elijah is that doesn't work. That if our relationship with God is just found in these incredibly big moments, when we don't have the big moment, like for Elijah, things start to fall apart. And I think for us, we can long for these big, loud moments in life because we think that's what it's supposed to look like. That for God to speak to me, I need to come to church and I need to be rattled by the sermon. That if God's speaking to me, there's going to be just this moment where I'm brought to tears, where I'm convicted, where I have to respond because God is in this place. That I need to break down during worship, that there needs to be this moment in a song where tears are just streaming down my face, that's how I'll know I'll met with God. That's how I know I met with God. And that if we can have these kind of big, huge moments, I need to have this deeply powerful and explosive experience in my life. The presence of God must feel like a powerful wind or a fire or an earthquake that shakes me to my very core. This is what meeting with God must be like. And I think to Elijah, God is saying, don't just look for me in that. Look for me when it's quiet. God intervened in the Apostle Paul's life in this incredibly powerful moment. Paul, whose name was Saul, was a violent persecutor of Christians. And in fact, he was on a mission to go to a city and to go arrest all of the Christians that were there. And on his way there, a light shines from heaven. And the audible voice of Jesus speaks and says, Saul, why are you persecuting my church? And from that moment, Saul changes his name to Paul. And he goes from a violent persecutor of the church to perhaps the greatest missionary the world has ever seen. And we read this story and we're amazed by it. We're floored by it. We cannot believe the power in this moment. But let's talk about Timothy for a moment. Timothy, who was Paul's protege. Timothy, who would go and plant churches. Timothy would come along behind him and pastor the church and grow the church and raise the church up. What's Timothy's testimony? What's his incredible moment? Well, what do we read about Timothy? We read that Timothy's testimony is that he heard the word of God from childhood through his mother and his grandmother, and he believed. There's no light from heaven. There's no audible voice of Jesus. Instead, there's a still, small, consistent, quiet voice that allowed him to grow up to become the man of God that he was. But we can think that what God is wanting for us, what God needs for us, what God is wanting to give us, are these kinds of big, loud moments. We can chase these moments, trying to live from loud moment to big moment, from mountaintop to mountaintop. But what we see in this moment with Elijah is that God's saying, don't run from loud moment to loud moment. Look for me in the quiet moments. Look for me in these real life moments. And the last thing that we can understand about God and how he wants to speak to us and what it looks like when he speaks to us and why he spoke to Elijah in this whisper is that it shows us where God wants us. See, you don't shout when you're close to someone. Now, when I said that in the first service, I saw a whole bunch of people look at their significant other or someone with them and laugh, because I guess sometimes we do shout when we're close to someone, but we really shouldn't. We don't shout. When things are good, we don't shout at the people who are close to us. We talk in an appropriate volume. God being found in the gentle whisper, in the still small voice, shows us what God's heart for us is. It shows us where God wants us to be. It shows us how he wants to speak to you. We may long for the big, loud fire and wind and all of that. In fact, we may prioritize that. In fact, we may put a higher value on those because they're these incredible moments. But that's not God's heart. God's heart is not that we would just find Jesus in the big, loud moments. God telling us to look for him in the gentle whisper, in the still, small voice, shows us that this is how God wants to speak to you. We may long for that big, we may long for the loud, but this shows us that this is how God wants to speak to us. This is his ideal. This is how he wants to relate to us. And for him to speak to us like this means that he wants us to be close to him. I'm going to close our time by reading a few verses from Acts chapter 17. In Acts chapter 17, Paul is preaching a sermon to the people in the city of Athens, Athens, Greece, the same Athens that exists today. Paul is there, and he's preaching to these people. He's talking with these people about how they can understand the God of the Bible. And in Acts chapter 17, starting in verse 24, we read him say this: "The God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth, and does not live in temples built by human hands. And he's not served by human hands as if he needs anything. Rather, he himself gives everyone life and breath and everything else. From one man, he made all the nations that they should inhabit the whole earth. And he marked out their appointed times in history and the boundaries of their lands. Friends, we serve an awesome, awesome God. We serve a God who is more powerful, who is bigger, who is capable of more than we will ever be able to understand or imagine. In fact, the Bible tells us that. It will say, "What anything you can ask or imagine, God can do more than that." That God is capable to do more. We serve a big God who doesn't need us. He doesn't need us to build a home. He doesn't need us to serve him. He doesn't need us. He's bigger than us. In fact, he created us. Paul's telling them, God is huge, bigger than you can imagine. But then we come to verse 27. We have this picture of the tremendous awesomeness of God. Verse 27. God did this so that they would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him, though he's not far from any of us. This big, awesome, all-powerful, all-knowing God who spoke the universe into creation, that created us, is not far from any of us. In fact, he wants us to reach out to him. He wants us to find him. Friends, God speaks to us in a whisper because God is close. So often, we can think that God mostly works through loud prayers and big moments. But the reality is that God most often works quietly. Through personal Bible reading and prayer. Sharing, small groups, Bible study, praying together. God changes a person, a family, and a community steadily and quietly. As powerful as God is, his presence often shows up in the most gentle, loving fashion. And like he did with Elijah, he wants to meet with you in your personal space. Regardless of your situation, God cares for you. He's not too busy to meet with you. In fact, he invites you in. He invites you to come close, to come closer and closer and closer, so that all God needs to do to speak to your heart and to your life is to just simply whisper. But we would be so close that a whisper would be all you need. He wants to meet with you one-on-one and help you with your most pressing situations, to help you with your most difficult questions that we talked about, to help you with the most challenging parts of your life. But here's the flip side of the promise of that, because we don't have to be afraid that when we come to God, that he's going to respond back with earthquakes and fire. But when we come to God, he's going to gently draw us in, bring us closer, and whisper. He's coming with gentleness and compassion because he loves you and cares for you and wants to meet you right where you are. Let's pray together. Father God, we recognize that we live in a loud, loud world. And Father, we even recognize that in so many ways, as people, we respond to the loudness of this world. But God, I pray for each one of us that our ears would be tuned to not just hear the loudest, to not just hear whatever shouts the loudest, but instead, God, I pray that our ears would be tuned to your voice. That our lives and our hearts would be drawn closer to you and closer to you and closer to you. And that instead of the loud, God, may we seek the quiet. Instead of the loud, God, may we seek the still small voice. Instead of longing for the big and loud moments, God, may we be able to find you in our quiet moments. God, may we be able to hear your voice speak to us in life's most quiet moments. God, may we not be a people who just long for these big, powerful, incredible expressions of your might. But God, may we be a people who long for intimacy with you, long for closeness with you, whose heart's desire is to glean in closer and closer and closer. God, we want to hear your voice. And God, we pray that for those of us today who maybe as we've talked about this or maybe seeing for the first time or maybe have been recognizing in their lives the distance that has been created between them and you. God, I pray by your grace, by your love, and by your mercy that you would begin to close that distance. God, pull us closer. God, bring us closer to you. God, allow us to live each day in closeness with you. God, we know that you long to speak to us. We know that you long to be close to us. God, would you allow us to be a people who live their lives at the distance of a whisper from you? In your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen.
It's hard for me to admit it.
Thanks again for being a part of this message from Hillside Church. We pray that God was able to speak to you through what was shared. We're so grateful to be able to share God's word with our church community and family, and that includes you. And we'd love to hear from you. You can find us on Facebook and Instagram at Hillside Airdrie. You can contact us through email at info@hillsideairdrie.ca, or you can go to hillsideairdrie.ca and click on Contact Us from the main menu, or you can find our pastoral team contact by clicking on Our Pastors from the Our Church drop-down menu. Our vision for everyone that shares in Hillside Church is that they would know God, know his hope, know his purpose, and know his power in their lives. And we pray this message ministered to you. At Hillside Church, we're a family not by blood, but a family that's been bought by blood. As family, we go.
And there's no world where I'm not safe. As long as you stay, so there's no moment you're not near, and when you hold me close, it's like a light to my soul. Don't let me push you away, I need you, and I know as long as you stay, I'm gonna be okay. Doing kids. stay.